what it is, what it ain't, what it should be here on this miserable Monday for this Bengals fan. I'm still going to play a little music. And we're going to get into it. You know, you'd think I'd be in the depths. You think I'd be in the pits as a Bengals fan, but let me tell you, boys, we called this. We called this in March of this year. Go back, take a look at the pod from throughout the entire offseason, really. We spent dumping on the Bengals organization and ain't shit changed but the diamond ring, you know what I mean? So we're gonna rant about that. I'm on really late today. I guess the time did change, so technically we're not that late on the East Coast. But I'm going to jiu-jitsu here in about 30 minutes. We got a hell of a slate to talk about today. Hell of a week 9 NFL slate. The NFL is entertaining again. We're watching good football again in the NFL, even if our teams suck ass. Okay? So, we'll get right into it. Bears 47, Bengals 42. This Bengals defense has allowed almost 100 points in the last two games. They've allowed over 1,000 yards in the last two games against the Jets and the Bears, respectively. And let me tell you, about midway through this Bengals game, maybe even halfway through the first quarter, I said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go cut my grass. I'm going to go mop my floor. I'm going to wipe down the motherfucking countertop. And I'm going to forget that this football team in stripes even exists. And so I do all those things. And as I'm mopping through the living room, I got to be real. I kept the game on the TV, but I kept my eyeballs off of it. And as I was mopping through the living room where my TV lives, I saw this beautiful T. Higgins touchdown. Beautiful touchdown. Flacco throws it up. You feel like there's no chance that any receiver catches a ball like that. And then T. Higgins catches this ball right on this guy's head and takes it in for a touchdown. And this is what this Bengals team does to you. And a prolific offense. Prolific offense. And they pull you right back in and you're interested again. You see a play like that, you're interested. And then as the game went on, it was clear to me in some capacity that the Bengals were going to lose. It's always like this. The offense, they make some flashy plays. Joe Flacco had a ridiculous stat line. Ridiculous. Threw for almost 500 yards, I believe, at 40. But this defense could not get a stop. And coming from, I'd like to think, all the years I spent playing defense, that I got a defense in mind. And to have your favorite team not play defense ever, a franchise that hasn't tackled for 3 years, according to Dan Orlovsky and me, it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. Again, I turn the shit off. I go and I watch Indy versus Pittsburgh. We'll get to that game. There were a lot of great games this weekend. I don't want to overshadow it with my continuous existential dread as a Cincinnati Bengals fan. But we have to talk about it. If anything, I'm going to take this pain and try to make something for y'all's entertainment. Okay, so Chicago's up 14, about 2:40 left. I'm thinking, all right, let's pack it. Let's watch something else. And then I get an alert. Noah Fant scores a touchdown. 2-point conversion. 6-point game. Well, guess what? We still don't have a chance because there's no timeouts. We got no timeouts. We got to onside kick this puppy, which, according to the Amazon stats, whatever you want to call it, since the new kickoff rules in the NFL, there's about a 5% probability, give or take, that you recover the onside kick. That's 5 out of 100 for all you mathematicians. Not likely. I'm thinking it's over. I'm thinking we're done. And then he kicks the onside, and it hits a Bears player on his cleat. Because originally, I thought that motherfucker only went 9 yards. We're cooked. We're done. But if it hits a player before it gets 10 yards, it's a live ball. Bengals fall on it. I'm sitting here thinking, my dumbass, I'm sitting here thinking, holy shit, we got a chance. Do we have a miracle in store in our favor for once? Cincinnati Bengals, finally get a miracle for us. We march it down, and we score, and we go up 42-40, I believe. 42-40. And I look at the clock, and there's 54 seconds left, and I knew right then and there, there's too much time. We're done. This defense is not getting a stop. And you see the rest. Joe Flacco had 470 yards passing in a loss. This is the first time since the NFL merger, I believe, that I think this is the first time since 1960 that a team has scored more than 38 points in two consecutive games and lost both games. The list of historic lows for this Bengals defense is downright embarrassing. They're the first team in 59 years to lose consecutive games while scoring 38 or more. The last team to do it were the 1966 New York Giants, back when the NFL had only 15 teams and had yet to crown its first Super Bowl champion. The Bengals have allowed 500 yards in two straight games and three times this season. The rest of the league has done it a combined two times. They are allowing 33.3 points per game this season, the most by any team since those same 1966 New York Giants. They have allowed at least 27 points and 350 or more total yards in eight straight games, the longest such streak within a single season in NFL history. This is your 2025 Cincinnati Bengals defense. And I've got more historically embarrassing statistics for you as we get down the road on this rant. And guess what? It's 4:38 p.m. Mountain Time. And the Cincinnati Bengals have made no changes. Are we surprised? Are we surprised that a team is just happy, a team, an organization like this is just happy to collect their league revenue sharing check every year? I see the Reddit posts of Bengals season ticket holders that are talking to membership associates down there at the Paycor Stadium office when they call to cancel their season tickets. And the fans, they're saying, hey, we think this front office is terrible. We think the decision-making is terrible. We're canceling our season tickets. And you know what these Bengals season ticket reps are saying? And I know how this goes down because I was one of them early in my career. I was on the new business side, so I sold the season tickets for the Colts, and then I would pass them off to a membership associate, and their job is retention. And the tough thing about this line of work is that it's largely the amount of tickets you sell or the amount of season ticket holders you retain is largely based on the team's performance at the end of the day. And so every week, your managers will sit you down if there's something going on in the team. And with these Bengals, there's something going on every week. I would hate to be a ticket sales person for the Bengals right now, because every week your manager's sitting you down and saying, look, here's exactly what you're going to say on the phone when the fans say this. Here's exactly what you're going to say on the phone when the fans say that. And so we got people posting on Reddit saying, I'm canceling my season tickets because this front office is inept and everyone's brain dead, retarded. And the season ticket rep tells the fan, hey, if this front office was stupid, would they have signed Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins? If they were stupid, would they have signed those guys? How many fans out of 100, people that watch football, familiar with it, maybe even leisurely tweet about football every now and then, out of 100 of the folks watching in the live chat right now, would you say would have drafted Ja'Marr Chase at that same spot? Anyone with a pulse would have been able to take Joe Burrow with the first pick in the 2020 draft. Anyone that doesn't have an extra chromosome, hell, even people with an extra chromosome would have drafted Ja'Marr Chase. Would have drafted T. Higgins in the second round. And we talked about all the draft picks that this franchise has blown in the last couple of years. And then you hear reports that these same draft picks declined, these defensive draft picks, Ja'Marr Stewart, Miles Murphy, among others. I know those guys for a fact. There's a few other, but I don't remember them. Don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Declined to speak with the media after the game on Sunday. The very guys responsible for this disaster that we're facing right now laughed their way out of the locker room on Sunday saying, we'll catch you on Monday. Jordan Battle was another one of them. All the worst players on this defense are the guys that want to snicker and cut up. These guys don't care about football. They care about what it can do for them financially. Done deal. Over. It's done. Zach Taylor said this about Al Golden. I trust in him. Said no staff changes will be made following yesterday's loss. Can you guys tell me another NFL franchise that would have a string of games like these Bengals have had the last 2 weeks that would make no changes? Are we really being serious? I know it feels tired ranting about this team every single show, but if you were cheering for this team, if you were cheering for this city, I don't know how else to cut it. I mean, I'm looking for the words. I'm sitting here thinking, oh, yeah, man. So I'm literally speechless trying to talk about this team. I was watching this game yesterday, and I'm sitting here thinking, dude, we got, you know, would you, these fucking text messages, excuse me, I'm getting in the jar. This is it. This is in the jar. God damn. I mean, I wish these kids would shut up. Sorry, guys. Lord, do not disturb. And they'll still probably ping. So I lost my train of thought. I was literally speechless because it gets to a point where I feel like on the show we're beating a dead horse ranting about this franchise every single episode. But I might have a biased perspective. I just put my phone on D&D. I might have a biased perspective, but I don't think that there's a worse NFL team to be a fan of. I don't think there's a worse NFL team to be a fan of. I got somebody in the chat spamming right now. Not spamming. Can you react to my most recent edit? Maybe. Maybe I'll take a look if you subscribe. Yeah, I mean, I'm speechless, man. I'm speechless. And the craziest thing is that the Bengals offense since Flacco arrived in week 6 in terms of EPA per play is number 1 in pro football right now. Number 1. And you just get no support. I just don't get it. You're a professional football player. You're getting paid tons of money to play a game. And you don't go into work and take your job serious. You laugh at media members, which is an obligation of yours as a player. I hope those guys got fined out the ass. Miles Murphy, Jordan Battle, Jamar Stewart. I mean, talk about the worst draft pick you could have made. Jamar Stewart. Guy's got his own website with the most beat up looking t-shirts I've ever seen for sale. This guy's Jamar Stewart. He's got his website set up and he's got merch sales on there. And most of the t-shirts are just black shirts with a printed chain on it. For $35. This guy's scamming everywhere he goes. He's stealing money everywhere he goes. And this brain dead scouting department for the Bengals looks at 4 reps on film. They probably got on YouTube and typed in Jamar Stewart highlights. They got a little tip from their neighbor on Twitter about this Jamar Stewart guy because he made one flashy play in one game the whole season for Texas A&M, and this Bengals scouting department, because they don't want to work. We're in a family business. My uncle got me this job. I'm just doing this to get a paycheck, even though you're 1 of 4 scouts in the whole department. Oh, my neighbor sent me this guy, Jamar Stewart, on Twitter. I wasn't planning on doing any work today. But I guess I'll grind it out and type in some YouTube highlights. That's my due diligence for the day as a member of the Bengals scouting department.
Oh, he runs really fast. Yeah, I watched 4 plays on him. He's good. We're drafting him.
Are you kidding me? This guy has been such a problem ever since he came into the organization. He held out of an entire training camp, his rookie training camp. How would your attitude be if a professional football team drafted you and they let you sit out all training camp as a rookie over money? And they continue to put you on the field. Listen, man. I was a walk-on in college. If I breathed a little bit too loud in a special teams meeting, It's curtains. If I have a thought about arriving to the defensive meeting 15 seconds late, I might have to worry about being off the team. I don't take too well to a guy like Shamar Stewart.
Oh, bro, I drafted in the first round, bro. Man, they ain't trying to pay me, man. I'm just going to sit out all camp, man. They still going to play me.
And they have. And look at the production. I'm sorry. I don't know Shamar Stewart personally. I probably never will. But we spend a first-round draft pick on that guy. We draft that guy ahead of Jihad Campbell out of Alabama, who I thought we should have drafted first. And he's playing great for Philly, a good functional organization. Again, I have no complaints about this Bengals offense. Who would? But we don't focus. The Bengals are not a gritty team. And the reason they're not a gritty team is because this organization does not value grit. We'd rather have the flashy Lambo that breaks down every 2 weeks because it looks good in our garage than a Toyota Camry that gets us from point A to point B. And it's a little beat down, but she gets the job done. Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? That's what the Denver Broncos are doing. They beat the Houston Texans 18-15. I almost want to verify that score. I use AI to break down outlines for me, and sometimes it fudges up the figures. But what I'm seeing right here, Broncos 18, Texans 15. Now, some shows are comparing Bo Nix to Tim Tebow. I think that's pretty disgusting between you and me. I think that's pretty disgusting. I think Bo Nix is a lot better of a pure quarterback than Tim Tebow was. But they lead, like this kid, Bo Nix, spent 9 years in college football. It's his second year in the league, and he already looks like a veteran. He's grinding out wins. He's doing what he has to do to lead these comebacks. And they're playing winning football. It's not pretty. But golly, man, if my Bengals could win ugly, I would take that 8 million trillion billion gazillion times before I take losing pretty. Right? You put up 42 points in the NFL and still lose. The Broncos, they had a good running game. And their defense carried the load. Their defense played great. I'm sitting here thinking, if you took any other defense in pro football, what would the Bengals' record be? Doesn't do us any good to throw that around, because that's hypothetical and it's not reality. But the question is, for the Broncos and Bo Nix, because losing pretty or winning ugly brought this discussion on, because the Broncos are winning ugly. I'd argue the Bengals are losing pretty. It's not pretty at the end, but it's pretty for the whole game. It's what keeps people like me, fans like me who are distraught, coming back, watching these Bengals, watching them on offense. You can't help but watch. It's tremendous, their offense. But I'd rather have a team like the Broncos that win ugly. Is Bo Nix actually good or just winning ugly? Bo Nix is good. He had all that time in college, and you're going to see this a lot with the new era of NIL football. I truly believe this is a good aspect of NIL, is that you're going to see kids coming into the NFL more ready, and that's something that could bolster the quality of the game. Somebody says, our team is horrible. I'm with the Titans. Look, I'd rather be a Titans fan than a Bengals fan right now. Because at least you guys know. At least you guys know that you're terrible and there's closure. This Bengals team, like I said, since Flacco got to Cincinnati in week 6, expected points per attempt, I believe, is what EPA stands for. Since Joe Flacco got to Cincinnati in week six, Cincinnati is number one in pro football in EPA for per play. Number one. So if you're going off that metric, it's the best offense in pro football right now with 40-year-old Joe Flacco. And you're telling me your defense can't pull one stop. This is professional football. It's unbelievable, man. But I think Bo Nix is actually good. He's ballsy. I don't think he gets jarred up too bad. I know this is in the jar. And I'm definitely in the jar right now. I don't think Bo Nix gets in the jar when the lights come on. And I think that's one of the most important traits in a quarterback. I think he is actually good. I think a Tim Tebow comparison to Bo Nix is absolutely egregious. And I think the Broncos make the playoffs. I really do. I think it'll, man. AFC West is interesting. I saw that both the Chargers tackles, Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater, are both out for the year. Two of the great tackles in the game. And the Chargers have been absolutely riddled with injuries. The Chargers and the Ravens have been two of the top teams in the league in terms of great players getting hurt. And, you know, this is saying Sean Payton's getting a lot of credit for developing a rookie, I mean, second-year player, technically. He's had Bo Nix his whole time in Denver over these past two seasons, and Sean Payton does deserve some credit. But again, like, you get a kid that spent all that time playing football in college, which now is basically minor league professional football. He's going to come in ready. I think Bo Nix deserves as much, if not more, credit than Sean Payton for Denver's success so far. But the question for Denver is, can the formula work in January? I think to an extent, I don't think Denver's a team that makes it out of the divisional round. You know, I could see Denver winning a wild card game, but then I think the divisional round is when Denver gets bumped. But they are a great team, and they're scary. I don't care what team you are in this league, you don't want to see the Denver Broncos in the playoffs. Not in a wild card game, even in a division game. You know, a team like Buffalo, who played really great on yesterday, or a team like Kansas City would not want to see Denver in the divisional round. Not saying Kansas City would lose, but they would not want to see Denver in the divisional round. Thank you for the subs, everybody. It goes a really long way. I want to be able to hire a producer. I want to be able to hire a cameraman, a thumbnail guy, a title guy, everything. So every single time you guys sub to the channel, you're helping perpetuate the good word on this show, and I appreciate that. And to use that as a reminder, we'll take a second for station identification. This is In the Jar. My name's Clark Dupree. Smash that like button. Smash that subscribe button. We're live on this show every day, Monday through Friday, 6-ish Eastern, recapping all the major happenings in pro football and college football and many more things. I like to talk about consciousness, philosophy, wisdom, things like the martial arts, things like that. Anything that builds character, and that's why we're here. Football builds character. It's the best thing you can do to mold young men, and it has shaped all the values I carry in my life today. Let us continue. The Vikings beat the Lions in the NFC North matchup. Look, the narrative for this week in the NFL is that any given Sunday, any team can come out and get the dub. That's what makes it beautiful. That's what makes it entertaining. And the Vikings, who seemed pretty downtrodden in the last couple weeks, they finally get their young stud, J.J. McCarthy, back. There's a lot of talk that the Vikings effed up letting Sam Darnold walk this offseason and going with, I think he's a sophomore. I mean, J.J. McCarthy is technically a rookie. I know he was in the league last year, hurt all year, backed up Sam Darnold. And I got to make sure I get my facts straight, by the way. I said something on Twitter yesterday that was completely untrue, and somebody replied to me and called me a dumb F-U-C-K. Didn't need that, but kind of wake up call, you know, get our facts straight. Aaron Jones, 78 rushing yards. He's been productive. Vikings defense harassing Jared Goff all game. And I mentioned that on the show on Friday in my preview of this game. Brian Flores, with all his exotic stunts and fronts, has a chance to frustrate any quarterback at any level any given Sunday. You know? I don't know. We were seeing reports midweek about the Vikings that the fun culture that Kevin O'Connell was known for was starting to fade, and players were noticing. People were really getting down on the Vikings, and then J.J. McCarthy comes out and plays unbelievable, gives this organization new life against the cream of the division right now in Detroit. And let me say this, too. Chicago winning that game against Cincinnati was a big deal in the NFC North because the Lions dropped that game yesterday. The Vikings obviously had a rough couple weeks with Wentz at the helm. Chicago now, I believe, is either tied or in sole control of the NFC North right now at 5-3. NFC North, top to bottom, probably the best division in football. But there's a few other great divisions. You know, you got the NFC West with Seattle. San Francisco just got another win yesterday, riding Christian McCaffrey to death, literally. And then you got the Rams. You know, oh man, that's tough. Yeah, NFC West, NFC North, probably two best divisions in football right now, top to bottom. Arizona aside, you know, Arizona took that chance on Kyler Murray all those years back, and he's not the player. He's not the guy. But all that to say, you know, the Lions, they're still elite. They're going to be in the mix late in the season. They're going to go deep into the playoffs. Bare minimum, Detroit, I think, would be a disappointment of a season to not make it to the NFC Championship. They're still elite. But, and the same with Kansas City. Still elite, but vulnerable. Vikings as a legitimate contender. And then there's a discussion around Green Bay, who lost to Carolina. And if you go to Friday's show, this is all the reason to subscribe if you're watching this and you haven't subscribed. We called this Panthers-Packers game on Friday's show. Go check it out if you don't believe me. The Panthers at 13.5 point underdogs. I just called the cover, by the way. I thought it was a giant spread. I thought it was ridiculous. Carolina got their ass beat by Buffalo the week before, but the week before that, they had won like 3 or 4 in a row. I knew it was a dangerous game, and so I'm debating jumping head first into the Packers-Panthers game now, or talking more about the NFC North as a whole. Because I don't know, man. Are there a couple pretenders in this division? Bears at 5-3, tough to call them. It's tough to take Chicago serious. They just beat my Bengals, and I'm saying this. It's tough to take Chicago serious as a real contender. But Ben Johnson, let's give the guy some credit. The Bears looked creative with their play calling yesterday. I don't know if that was more so lack of respect for this Bengals defense. That's how I took it, at least. I thought the Bears were running all these trick plays on Cincinnati and running them successfully, might I add, out of disrespect for this Bengals defense. They're saying, these guys suck. We can run a fucking double reverse pass on them and they won't be able to sniff it out. And they weren't. But objectively, the Bears play calling, it looked creative. It looks like Ben Johnson's breathing new life into the organization. He's elevated the play of Caleb Williams, or helped elevate the play of Caleb Williams with his gay ass nails. Damn it. I gotta get my timing right on the sound effects. God damn it. And again, the Packers, they struggle against bad teams. They struggle against I watched them in person struggle against the Arizona Cardinals a couple weeks ago in Jacoby Brissett. I think that Green Bay are pretenders. I don't think Green Bay makes it past a wild card or a divisional round. I think the best team, pound for pound, in the NFC North is Detroit, but all around there's some intriguing teams in there. Vikings can make some noise. They've got a great defense, and they just got to keep J.J. McCarthy healthy and keep him rolling. They could be a dangerous team. Green Bay, when they want to be, I think Green Bay is a team that plays to the level of their competition. And I think that can be a really bad thing. And then you got Chicago. They're improving, but they're inconsistent. But I still think top to bottom, NFC North's the best division of football. With that being said, the Packers lose to the Panthers at home. Green Bay is continuing to underperform expectations. Panthers, I don't think they're one of the worst teams in the league. I think the Bengals are worse than the Panthers. I think the Titans are worse than the Panthers. Jets are worse than the Panthers. This outline I created says Panthers are one of the worst teams in the NFL. I don't agree with that. I think they're middle of the pack. Looks like they can, and I didn't watch much of this Packers-Panthers game, but it seemed like they were continuing to feature Chuba Hubbard despite Rico Dowdle's success. The Packers' offense seemed to be stagnant. Dave Canales with his first statement win, and I do only have a couple minutes left with you guys here today. I'm just noticing that. Damn. We got so much stuff to cover. We didn't even talk about the Chiefs-Bills game, 49ers-Giants game. I don't really care. College football, it was a chaotic weekend. Texas had to get the win against Vanderbilt to stay alive in the playoff hunt. And Sark proving the doubters wrong. Vandy, don't know how much they dropped in the rankings, but that's tough. That's tough. Arch Manning said maybe that concussion helped him play better. You know, and I did watch that game. It was early. But golly, Texas needed that win against a buzzing Vandy program. A lot of Tennessee fans. I saw a lot of Tennessee fans on Facebook last couple days calling for Josh Heupel's job. Oklahoma beat Tennessee in Neyland. A lot of people are questioning his job security in Knoxville, and this college football coaching carousel is colder than the dope game. So keep a lookout on that. Bill Belichick got a win against Syracuse. NC State upset undefeated Georgia Tech. I know that quarterback for Georgia Tech was getting a ton of praise coming in to the week. NC State knocks them off. This is chaos in college football. Georgia held on 24-20. Surviving, but not dominant. The SEC's eating itself, as it always does. It's the best conference in college football. Obviously, competition week to week is going to be tough when you're in the SEC, being in the best conference in the land. So the SEC is eating itself. People are saying the Big Ten looking strong. Man, they got Ohio State and Indiana. Get the fuck out of here. That's it. There's no depth in the Big Ten. Jaden Daniels got hurt. We're going to have to dive into more of this stuff tomorrow because my late ass has got to go to jiu-jitsu. I think the Rams are one of the best teams in the league. And no one's talking about him. I think people are finally starting to talk about him. And Matthew Stafford is MVP. We're going to have to get into all this tomorrow, dude. I got 2 minutes. Lord have mercy. I thought I'd be able to belt it out in 30 minutes. We're at minute 40. Oh, man. God. I'm not skipping jiu-jitsu, guys. I'm sorry. I can't. But, yeah, man, I mean, Bengals are cooked. Season's over. I have withdrawn my pleasure of being a fan this season. I'm going into complete analysis mode as we watch these games going forward. I will never withdraw my support for the city of Cincinnati, but for the sake of the good, the greater good of a team that means everything to the cultural fabric of a city, I cannot support what the Cincinnati Bengals are doing in their front office. And so, in terms of cheering, I will not be cheering anymore this football season. I will be hoping for the success of those guys in stripes, but I probably won't watch that much of it. It's too painful for me. I might just have to defer to watching my former employer, the Indianapolis Colts, a functional organization, if you will, and go from there. Let's take a look at the chat. Let's get out of here. Trade Hendrickson to Detroit. Look, the Bengals might be sellers. They might trade everybody. I know we got the deadline. The trade deadline is tomorrow, and things have been pretty quiet. I doubt Cincinnati makes any changes. Panthers are coming on, though, just to spoil playoff spots. Virginia looking really good for their first playoff. Yeah, UVA's got a great program going right now. Got people subbing. Appreciate everybody who subbed. And we'll get to more of this tomorrow. But, yeah, I'm pressed for time. I'm sorry we didn't get to go longer today. But we'll continue tomorrow to recap what happened in Week 9 in the NFL. Talk about some college football stuff. We got the trade deadline tomorrow, so make sure you sub to the channel so you can stay tuned in on all of this stuff. And if you guys ever see stuff that you want talked about on the show, I see a couple people in the chat doing it today. Holler at me in the chat. Holler at me in the comments on stuff you'd want to see talked about more on the show. Make sure you like the video for me. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. I know we've had a couple people do so today, and I really appreciate that. And you can also catch this podcast on every single audio platform you can think of, big or small. If you're trying to make your girlfriend listen to me talk about football so that she can learn, sometimes it's helpful to cut on this show. So that audio aspect of the show is updated daily. And we also have Madden streams on the channel every now and then. Daily clips. If you like football, I'd imagine YouTube algorithm wouldn't have sent you here if you didn't like football. And if you like football, you're going to love this channel. So I got to head out. Got jiu-jitsu in literally 18 minutes. So I got to get dressed, get down the road for that. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Might jump on a Madden stream. The nice thing about the Madden streams when you're subbed is that you'll know exactly when we go live with those. And if you're not subbed, you won't, because we kind of jump on there when we want to play some ball. So anyways, love you guys. We'll holler at you tomorrow or tonight.